Well, I'm scheduled to speak on the church and homosexuality tonight at a university in North Carolina, and the protesters are coming. They don't want me there.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this is an exciting day. A few minutes ago, maybe over by now, but a few minutes ago, there was a protest taking place on the campus of Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. Student body, I believe, of over 18,000 there. I was told there are 150 to 200 protesters upset with the administration for letting me in to spread my hate. And they didn't want the event to take place. Sponsors dropped out that were standing with the student organization, Ratio Christi, that invited me in. And as soon as the show is over today, I'll be taking a drive, about a two-hour drive over there to the campus, where I plan to speak to all that will come. I've been reaching out to protesters online. A fascinating interaction. We'll talk about all that and more. Why the hatred? Why the intolerance towards us? We speak graciously, we speak truthfully, we speak reasonably, we speak rationally. In response, we get called every name under the sun and branded as full of hate. The goal, though, the goal in this event is not just to preach to the choir. The goal is to help believers on campus know how to speak the truth in love when it comes to these sensitive issues that affect so many people. And the goal is to reach out to those who differ. It's also to help those that are in the middle and wavering and not sure, as well as to reach out to the protesters, to those who are hostile, and to overcome their hatred with love, to overcome their misinformation with truth, to overcome their anger with patience. So be praying for us. We plan to do a live stream from the event on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, starting about 8 o'clock tonight, Tuesday night. What's today's date? February 13th, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So we plan to do a live feed of the actual event. If there's protesting going on before, we'll do our best to interact with protesters before the event. We hope they'll come to the event. But I just want to talk to you more about this today, the intolerance, the hatred towards our position. And I also want to say, we told you, we've warned you. Now, if you have a question having to do with our moral stand today, having to do with the laws when it comes to LGBT issues, having to do with sharing the gospel with those who identify as gay or lesbian or transgender, or you yourself identify as LGBT or identify as an LGBT Christian and take issue with me, please call. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. You can also read my latest article where I document some of the things going on. But let me start right in and tell you that it's very rare that I'm invited to do events like this. I would do them all the time, as often as schedule permitted, but I'm hardly ever invited to do them. Why? Because it takes courage for a campus group to invite me in. It takes courage for a campus group to address these issues publicly. There's tremendous flack. There's tremendous pressure. There's the concern that they'll lose their funding or they'll lose their recognition and won't be able to use campus buildings. There's the concern that they will be tarred and feathered and branded as hate group themselves. There's a concern that the dialogue that they seek to have with those who differ will be destroyed by the controversy that swirls. And sometimes it's just plain fear and intimidation, and they're not willing to do these. When my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, came out in 2011, so 700 pages, 1,500 endnotes, documented everything meticulously, I put out a public offer to debate any qualified academic or LGBT leader on any subject covered in the book. So you specialize in whatever area you want to specialize on, and I will gladly debate it if it's addressed in the book. We went to different cities. We reached out to Christian friends who worked with different campus ministries, some young people, some old people. They went to the campus ministries. And I remember it happened in New York. I remember it happened in Georgia. And I remember it happened in New England, in Massachusetts specifically, that we were told, no way, impossible, can't do it, won't touch it. Someone went, a young person, to talk to student ministries, not even a chance. We even heard student ministries say, if you try to bring this event on campus, we will shut it down. We will work against you. These were Christian groups on campus. Some said, look, we've been building a bridge to the LGBT community. This would destroy it. And we said, you don't understand. I'm going to model things in a way that any bridge you have is going to get stronger, and you'll be able to speak the truth in love even more effectively. Couldn't risk it. Couldn't risk what will happen if something negative standing on their campus or something like that. Wouldn't touch it. This is 2011, friends. Not 2018, 2011. Oh, and before that, we had similar responses. Finally, in Florida, a Christian group has worked with other campuses on abortion issues and things like that, and the Christian groups on campus were willing to work with them. When it came to this issue, campus after campus, no, no, same deal. If you try to bring it on our campus, we'll shut it down. Finally, University of Central Florida, which is a school with about 60,000 students. It has its own police force there on campus. It's so big. 60,000 students. No one would sponsor the event. Republican group, Democrat group, Christian group, LGBT group. No one would sponsor it. A professor at another university said, I'll debate Dr. Brown on same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? And remember, it was not legal in Florida at that time. The people of Florida voted and said, no, we don't accept two men or two women coming together as marriage. So the law of the land was that it should not be legal. No one would sponsor it, even though a professor offered to debate me. Finally, a Christian professor on the campus said, I will book a room for you in my name, a room I can book. I will book the room for you. I was told she almost lost her job for doing it. The week of the event, they call for a major conference call. Of course, I was not invited to be part of it. 11 people on the call. The Christian leader of the Christian group that had invited me from outside, she was part of that. Several vice presidents from the university, a campus of 60,000, were involved, LGBT leaders, and the chief of the police force for the campus. I kid you not. I'm going to have a debate with another professor on this subject. This is 2011. Same-sex marriage, should it be legal? This is the uproar that was created, all right? So what happens is, they agree it would be worse publicity to cancel the event than to hold it. They agree to hold it. The folks bringing me in, we were told we had to pay for 4 armed policemen to be there. Yeah, remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. You can watch the debate. Just go to askdrbrown.org and type in SMAW, S-M-A-W, as in Eric Small, the professor who debated me. I think you'll see it is a good and clear night for the truth to emerge and go forth. And yes, people were impacted who were there. That was 2011. Now people don't even dare go near this. So the fact that Ratio Christi, one of the strongest Christian campus groups, frontline apologists, the fact that they asked me to come in is major. And when they asked me to come in, they asked me to do a talk starting with Christian mistreatment of homosexuality, where the church has gotten things wrong, and then from there to speak the truth of the gospel. So our whole approach is coming in with humility, not confrontation. But, of course, we will be branded and attacked. So we got a note yesterday. Here's what's happening, and this is being distributed on social media and protests called for, etc. And I got to share some of my Twitter interaction with some of the protesters or their sympathizers today. I mean, it's as remarkable could be in terms of speaking the truth in love and getting an aggressive, irrational, hate-filled response. But in their eyes, I'm the hater. In their eyes. So I'm looking at this now on the Appalachian State University online publication, and it says, rally against this hate, because hate happens here. And it says, have you seen this flyer? There's a picture of me, and it's announcing this. And then on either side, it has these quotes. For example, in quotes, so you've got my picture, then in quotes, LGBT people are inherently unhappy, unhealthy, sexually immoral, or rebellious to the will of God. The moment I saw it, I knew I never said it. I knew that wasn't my quote. But they've got it in quotes. I'll tell you where they got it from later. Then defends criminalizing homosexuality to prevent the spread of HIV/AIDS. When did I do that? When and where? Please give me the documentation. Then Southern Poverty Law Center officially labels him as a hate group member. Well, SPLC has increasingly disqualified itself as a hate group itself. It actually has blood on its hands because of its various provocations against others. And when they listed me as one of the 30 new leaders of the radical right a few years back, together with former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, or Malik Zulu Shabazz, former leader of the New Black Panthers, I consider it a badge of honor. But I call them out for their lies and their misrepresentation. And if you go to that site and click on the article and look for my name, I haven't been on their site for years. Whether they were embarrassed, whether they got found out for posting false information, whether they had no case to make against me, whatever it is, click, it's not even there. So even that, once again, is just trying to stir up hate against us. And as I scroll down in the article, there's a remarkable quote here. And, oh, let's just see. It says, Avery Walker, a senior psychology major, director of social sustainability and director of Appalachian social justice educators, said that Brown's hate speech goes beyond the First Amendment. So for me to say that kids should have a mom and a dad, or that God designed us for heterosexuality, that's hate speech, not covered by the First Amendment. Quote, as a black, queer, and genderqueer person, it really would be a disservice to myself and to my community to stand by silently as this man comes to campus and says very violent language. We're not going to tolerate it. It's just as simple as that. This is our campus. Very violent language. Okay, listen. I've spoken about these topics over and again, endless radio broadcasts, endless articles, books, sermons. Find one syllable of violent language or one syllable of hate. The hate's coming from one side, friends. We'll do our best to expose it with the love of God tonight. Be praying and be sure to watch our live video feed, the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So friends, keep us in prayer. I'm not in the least bit concerned about my safety. That's not the issue. And I'm not in the least bit concerned about a protest. In fact, I'm glad that people are passionate enough to draw attention to the event, and hopefully they'll come. My desire to ask for prayer is that people's lives would be touched tonight, that eyes would be opened, that truth would penetrate, that Christians would be emboldened, that hate would be exposed. And that is the purpose. And that through that, ultimately, the gospel would go forth. 866-348-7884. Be watching. We plan to be posting video that's relevant, be it protest video or things going on at the campus. Be sure to watch. And then tonight again, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, God willing, we'll be doing a live stream feed of the event, of my talk. There is an African-American woman who came out of homosexuality who'll be sharing her testimony. I believe some campus professors will be standing up and speaking their solidarity. We'll have a time of Q&A. This will all be on our Ask Dr. Brown, ASKDR Brown Facebook page, beginning, it should be 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Standard Time. Now, it's my style to try to interact with those who differ. And I actually posted today, put yourself in the shoes of the protesters. Think of how they view me. What they know about me is the lies they've heard online and the exaggerated claims that have been made and the misinformation that's been spread. And where they do understand me accurately, they are completely hostile to my views. So they're looking at me a certain way, thinking, how can our campus have a monster like this come in? That's what they're thinking. So I'm trying to reach out to those who feel that way. The results have been very interesting, to say the least. Before I share some of that interaction with you, let's go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Eric in Squim, Washington, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you.
I just want to say you have an anointing of clarity, that when you speak, you know, how the enemy likes to muddy the water, the Lord has really given you an authority to unmuddy the water. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. By God's grace, we will do that. Thanks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was wondering very quickly, do you sense that there is an uptick in activism against the truth? I was with you at the Voice of Truth conference a few years back at Mill Creek Foursquare, and we didn't see a lot of protest then. And I wonder if there's obviously the enemy's at work, but is there an emboldening force out there?
Oh, yeah. When you ask if I sense it, I sense it the way you sense rain during a hurricane, you know?
Right.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. Of course there's been an emboldening. You don't see it everywhere. In other words, I've spoken at churches, even mega churches, on these issues, and there's been no protest. I've spoken at small churches, and there have been protesters in front of the building. A campus is almost guaranteed to draw a protest. There is such volatility on the campuses. There's such resistance to conservative views, let alone Christian conservative views, let alone Christian conservative views when it comes to homosexuality, transgenderism, and things like that. So absolutely, there's been an emboldening. And look, same-sex, quote, marriage became the law of the land. Our side, quote, lost. It's all over. Things are so prevalent in the media. The viewpoint that we hold is so scorned and increasingly marginalized that, yeah, it's almost like, how dare we challenge the new status quo? So what was the extreme fringe position a generation ago has become the establishment position today, and woe to anyone that tries to go against it. And I expect with each step that we make where there is progress or light or truth, I expect the reaction to be more aggressive, more hysterical, just like with the pro-life movement. Notice the level of hysterical reaction, over-the-top reaction, violent, hateful reaction, mm-hmm. the more that the pro-life movement makes progress. Here we've lost on so many fronts, culturally and legally, when it comes to LGBT issues. We've done a better job reaching out to people, which is important. That's good. But in other ways, stuff we warned about for years that people didn't believe us on, now it's happening in front of their eyes. So no question emboldening, no question growing anger and hostility. And we'll do our best again to overcome the hatred and the anger with the love and truth of God.
Absolutely.
All right. Be praying for us. All right, Eric?
I certainly will, Dr. Brown. I love you and appreciate you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, if you have a comment or a question, just looking over at our YouTube feed, you know, there are always questions about, are people, quote, born that way? Are you born gay? Are you born transgender? And lots of questions come up in scientific discussions and theological discussions and moral discussions. If you have a question, we'll see if we can take some from our YouTube feed as well. And then they go on our phone number, 866-34-TRUTH. But we're limiting calls and discussion to the issues at hand. But let me just say a couple things very simply to help with this. There is no reputable scientific evidence that anyone is, quote, born gay. In other words, born to be same-sex attracted so that the way they are genetically programmed, as soon as they reach a certain age, they will be same-sex attracted. There is no reputable scientific evidence for this. And the best way to prove that is to go to the most liberal, pro-gay psychology, psychiatry websites that are out there and see what they have to say themselves. And interestingly, what you'll find is this. If you go to the two APAs, the American Psychiatric Association and American Psychological Association, which are ultra-liberal, which are dominated by gay activists in these areas, which when they set up a task force to review certain things, will set it up exclusively with gay activists and their allies and allow no other voices on it. They say we don't know exactly what causes homosexual desires. That's what they say. The same-sex attraction. They say they don't know. And it could be partly biological, partly environmental. In other words, nature and nurture, the what you're born with, what happens in the womb, and what happens as you grow up and experiences you have. They say we're not sure. It could be a complex mix of these things. If there was a stitch of evidence that they could say points strongly in their direction, they would just say, no, people are born this way. It's genetic. But there is no reputable scientific evidence that says so. Now, what if there were? What would that mean? Well, what if there's scientific evidence for an obesity gene? There are scientists who believe that there is an obesity gene. If you were diagnosed with an obesity gene, would you join a fat pride movement and join a fat pride parade? Or would you work with the doctor to say, I have to work hard, or I have to be more diligent with exercise, with the weight? How do I work on this? Because I know obesity is unharmful. It's harmful. In other words, you wouldn't change your view on obesity. You'd think, wow, I got a strike against me already. There are scientists who believe there's such a thing as a violent gene. What does that mean? Does that mean that the guy who beats up a gay person can say, well, I just have a violent gene? God forbid. What a monstrous thought. There are scientists who believe they've discovered a ruthless gene. Others who believe they've discovered an adultery gene. Yeah, check that one out, guys. All right, you commit adultery and you go home and tell your wife, hey, it's not me. It's my genes made me do it. So even if there was a homosexual gene or a complex of genes that caused someone to be homosexual, even if that was the case, it wouldn't make it morally right in and of itself. Would you agree? What if there's a pedophilia gene? I'm not comparing raping a boy with two adult men in a consensual relationship. I'm simply saying, what if there was a gene? Many scientists now think that pedophilia is genetic somehow. Well, what does it mean? Do you now approve the behavior? No, of course not. So we do not make any moral judgment based on, quote, born that way. But the best science says no one is, quote, born gay. The best reputable science. At most, there may be factors that predispose someone to homosexuality. In other words, this person in this environment is more likely to develop same-sex attraction than this person. But as it's often been said, predisposition is not predestination. Correlation is not causation. These are very, very important distinctions to make. From a theological viewpoint, it would affect nothing because we recognize every human being is born in a broken condition. Every human being is born in sin and needs a savior. We recognize that, and therefore the solution for all sin is you must be born again. The good news is Jesus died for every sin exactly the same. Heterosexual sin, homosexual sin, exactly the same. He shed the same blood. And to everyone, he says, you must deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. There's freedom in Jesus. There is new life in Jesus. He reached out to the tax collectors and the prostitutes, but did he affirm them in their corrupt tax collecting? No. Did he affirm them in their prostitution? No. He reached out to them where they were. He was inclusive, but rather than affirming them, he did not practice affirmational inclusion, but transformational inclusion. He reached out to people where they were, and then, through his grace, transformed them and gave them brand new life. Right? We come back, we're going to take more of your calls, and I'm going to take you into some of this remarkable Twitter exchange I've had in the last 24 hours. Stay right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, about, less than 2 hours from now, I should be driving up with my assistant Dylan, or driving out, whichever direction, to Boone, North Carolina, Appalachian State University, campus of 18,000 plus students from what I've seen online, where I'll be giving a talk about the church and the homosexual community, talking about what the church has done wrong, renouncing the Fred Phelps, God hate fags type rhetoric, then talking about our real calling is to speak the truth in love, that we do a disservice when we don't reach out with compassion and understanding and sensitivity. We do a disservice when we don't speak the truth. A protest event, I believe it's over by now, has taken place on the campus today. People are being told that I'm bringing hateful, violent rhetoric that is not protected under the First Amendment. Oh, yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff. False quotes being put on my lips. When I've challenged folks about it, do they respond? No. But can't wait to get there. Pray for grace and favor that the truth will go out. And there are other campus ministries that are upset, and they're saying you shouldn't have done this to Ratio Christi, which has set up the event. You shouldn't have done this because this creates discord. So number one, we're going to avoid one of the greatest issues of the day affecting people that we love. We're going to avoid it for fear of conflict. Then how are you going to help anybody? You just back away from conflicting issues on campus if it's during the days of slavery and that's going to create confusion, or, you know, during these days of abortion, you just don't address things because they're controversial? What? On a college campus? And you're going to allow people to attack your right to free speech and bully you? Really? You say, yeah, but we don't want to sow discord. Well, we're not sowing discord by speaking the truth in love. It's those who are attacking, those who are trying to shut it down. Those who are falsely representing us, those are the ones sowing discord. Are you going to let them dictate choices that you make? And most of all, this is an event that's going to be filmed. This is an event that hopefully will be well attended. We are going to speak the truth in love. We're going to reach out with compassion. We're going to smash a lot of negative stereotypes, and we're praying that we'll do it with God's anointing on us. So how can that be wrong? How can that be bad? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones in one moment, but I tweeted this out. Please pray for an open door. I'm scheduled to speak tomorrow night. So I tweeted this out last night. Tomorrow night in Boone, North Carolina at Appalachian State University on the church and homosexuality, but there's pressure on the campus to cancel the event along with protest plans spreading false info about me too. Let's do this. Again, I'm not concerned about safety or anything like that. Just want to make sure the event goes on, that it doesn't get shut down, and that we get to speak to people. So someone named Dylan posted this. You traveled to Peru discouraging the nation's lawmakers from normalizing homosexuality. I am normal, doctor. Any real doctor will tell you homosexuality is normal. So I responded, did you actually hear my speech? Did you read the text? Here are the opening lines of my text in Peru. We're not here to demonize those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. We're not here to incite hatred. We're not here to call for homosexual men and women to be prosecuted by the law. These are my opening words, and allegedly I'm spreading hate. Dylan, not my assistant Dylan, another Dylan, then tweeted, soon enough, there's a knock at your door and government agents are taking your son, yes, your very own child, and putting him in a new environment where he can live as Jane. And, you know, he's upset with me. So I responded, so you think it's a good thing that this can happen in Canada? You agree with this? I surely don't. Please join me in speaking against it. Then he said, you said activists use LGBTQ youth suicide victims as pawns in a larger political agenda. Really? I responded, yes, indeed. They've done it to my face, even on my radio show. My heart is to prevent LGBT suicides, not use them to threaten people who are coming to decisions about marriage and family. How is that right? He then tweeted, you're not welcome. You're misleading students of a fragile community. I believe this is probably his first tweet. You need to be stopped. We're not lying about you. Everything you said is a Google search away. There are videos. Your hate is not welcome to a place I, a gay man, pays tuition, expect to protest. And I responded, I have a message of hope and healing for a fragile community. And I welcome each of you to join me at the event and to raise your objections. You will only hear love and truth from me. Please introduce yourself tomorrow night. And then I told them, listen, search for quotes that have been put on my lips. I never said them. I never said them. Here, I'll give you one example, okay? Give you one example. The social media, the protests going out against me, the Appalachian Online newspaper has a quote from me, all right? Here's a picture of me with a flyer, and here's a quote. Quote, LGBT people, LGBT in brackets, are inherently unhealthy, sexually immoral, or rebellious to the will of God. No, I knew those weren't my words. You said, yeah, but you've written thousands of pages on these issues and spoken countless times. Yeah, I know those are not my words. I can recognize when a quote's not mine a million miles away. I know what I say and how I say it. So the other day, someone posted a really good quote for me about revival on my Facebook page, and it was getting all kinds of good response. And I looked at it and thought, I never said that. It's not my words. It was a good quote. It's a great quote. And what happened was someone mistakenly took it from a book where I've contributed some chapters to the book and thought I was responsible for every word in the book and didn't realize this was written by the editor of the book. So we had to correct it publicly. It was a great quote. I said, but it's not mine. So all the more when it's a lousy quote, I know that the words are not mine. So I searched for those words. People are inherently unhealthy, sexually immoral, or rebellious to the will of God. And I found on this website called Truth Wins Out, which is one of the most hostile websites to the idea that people can change, that there's such a thing as ex-gays. You know, they had some of the craziest articles about me a few years ago when we handed out with the Benham Brothers and others in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area about 2,000 bottles of water, which said, God loves you. It's at a gay pride event. God has a better way. Jesus loves you. We handed out bottles of water and reached out to people in love that I was called an anti-gay monster trying to provoke a violent physical confrontation with the gay community. I mean, this is how out in left field the website Truth Wins Out could be. Well, in any case, Truth Wins Out years ago had an article attacking me with one woman named Kathy who said God appointed her to oppose me, saying this is what Brown believes. And she says those words, puts them in my mouth. The majority, this is what she said, the majority of LGBT people are inherently unhappy, unhealthy, sexually immoral, or rebellious to the will of God, and said that I said that. Those are my words. So then the people doing their poor research, take what someone else says, I said, put it in quotes, and put it there for everyone to see as big headlines. That's the level of deceit we're dealing with. Nonetheless, no problem. I get lied about all the time. I get misrepresented all the time. It's rare that I don't see online on a given day blatant lies about my views and misrepresentations of my positions or exaggerated statements that I'd never make. Sometimes an hour doesn't go by. So this is all par for the course. To me, I'm encouraged because this means we're taking steps in the right direction. This means Ratio Christi Campus Group has done the right thing. And for all of you who have kids on campuses, find out if there's a Ratio Christi. There are other fine campus groups as well. But encourage them. If you find a Ratio Christi group, encourage them for being bold to take stands where many others are not. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let us head over to the phones. We'll start in New Jersey with Tess. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I have a really good friend. He's also on YouTube. At I Belong Ministries, and his name is David Arthur, and he lived for decades, since he was 14, as a transgender gay woman, and he was delivered, and now he met Jesus, and now he's traveling the country, you know, given his testimony about how he was delivered from the transgenderism and from the homosexuality. And apparently his father had committed suicide before he was born, so he had that rejection that immediately entered his life, and he described it as an addiction of wanting the male attention. You know, he even talked about how he would go to truck stops and things like that, waiting for a dirty old man or any man to just give him attention.
Yeah, and Tess, he was recently included in an email list that was going out and sent some of us his story and testimony. So I've seen the name in recent days. And here's what's interesting. Yeah. Obviously, his story is his story. In other words, that doesn't mean it's anyone else's story. That's his own story. But everyone I've talked to, every single one without exception, everyone who's come out of homosexual practice, men and women, without exception, every single one of them could trace their attractions back to things that had happened earlier in their lives.
Absolutely.
So again, I'm not gonna put that on anyone else. Any person I meet is an individual with their own life and experience and story. But everyone I've talked to, again, his David Arthur story is one. But everyone I've talked to, and there are many, they've all told me. Yeah, it goes back to this. I met a woman, former lesbian, married to a former gay man a few months ago in Fargo, North Dakota. And she told me that when she saw, as a girl, when she saw in the act her father committing adultery with another woman, she turned against men. She said, no question that's what happened in her own life. So people like David, we need to pray for them because they come under a lot of pressure and attack for their testimony.
He gets the same opposition.
He gets
the same opposition from churches, though. Like a lot of Christian churches don't want him to come and give his testimony because they're afraid of offense.
Yeah,
you know, they're afraid of offending people, and it's a shame because we can't, as David said, we can't love people to death. We have to love them to life, and that includes sometimes, you know, the truth will offend people. You know,
yeah, and not only that, Tess. Listen, what about all the people like David that need to hear a message of hope? When I speak on these things, invariably, there folks come up to me with a big smile and say, "Hey, I'm ex-gay." Or I came out of homosexuality, or I was a lesbian. And they say, thank you for taking a stand, and thank you for doing it with such love. They feel left all alone. They feel outcast. What about all the families? You've got family members struggling with homosexuality, with gender identity confusion. Is the church saying, hey, we have an answer and we have hope? Or are we just burying things because they're too controversial? That's not love. That is not love. Love. All right. Want to get to some more calls. I've got a few more comments, some more wild tweet exchanges I want to share with you. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, when we talk about being your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, that means we're on the front lines. And tonight, Appalachian State University, Boone, North Carolina, I'm scheduled to give a talk about the church, homosexuality, where the church has gotten things wrong in its treatment of those who identify as LGBT, and how we can speak the truth in love. There was a protest that took place earlier today. One of the campus ministries sent us a picture of some of the folks that are there, and we're posting these. So if you're watching our live stream on Facebook or YouTube, you can watch some of the protests going on. A small crowd there holding up signs, different people getting up and speaking. So this took place just, a little over an hour ago, hour and a half ago, and standard slogans, things like that. I'm really hoping that folks will come out tonight and hear the truth spoken in love. And, we're going to differ. We're going to differ. But we're going to do our best to reach out. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, there may even be some financial needs incurred by the sponsor of the event. The campus group that put this together had Christian sponsors drop out because of controversy. Now, hopefully others have jumped in, but we'll let you know if any needs were incurred along the way. So I posted, I tweeted out to folks, hey, let's get in the shoes of the protesters. They've heard bad things about me. They think I'm some kind of monster, right? They think I'm some kind of monster. And hopefully they'll come out and find out for themselves. So one fellow on Twitter, Space Cadet Seth, said, I've Googled him. I know he's a monster. Keep this man off our campus. So I wrote back, Seth, why are you so full of hate and intolerance? And please be specific in letting others know why you concluded I'm a monster, okay? Also, is it okay to have Christian speakers on campus who believe what the Bible says? I look forward to your responses. He wrote back, I'm trying to prevent the spread of hate and discrimination. Also, your publications lead me to believe you have a toxic message, and being considered a member of a hate group by the SPLC doesn't help. I responded, Seth, thanks for writing back. By all means, you should come out tonight and hear the truth. Truth and love are only toxic to those who refuse truth and love. Regarding SPLC, they're actually the proven hate group. More here. And then I gave a link where you could read more about this. He responds, you actually sound like a cult leader. Yeah, that's what happened. That's his response to what I wrote with links to look into things for himself. I said, remarkable. I take time to interact with you. I answer your questions. You respond to everything I say with more insults. And I'm the cult leader. I do hope you have the courage to see the truth and be open and honest with yourself. And then another gentleman writes to me, Griffin, you're a monster because you're a homophobe that disguises your hatred and intolerance as love and religion. And when people point that out, you say it's because they're full of hatred and intolerance. I said, Griffin, actually, I love God and I love people. And I believe the Bible is true. How does that make me a hateful homophobe? You seem to be the one full of hatred and intolerance. Please, sir, put some facts on the table. Truth, not attacks and lies. He writes back, not a sir, concerned with the false Christian idea of, not concerned with the false Christian idea of love. Do you believe in the right of same-sex couples to marry? Do you believe that being gay is a problem that needs to be solved? Do you think that trans women are actually men? Fair questions. I wrote back, so you reject God's love and call it false. That's your call. As for marriage, God designed men for women and women for men. I affirm them. And I know many ex-gays who found new life in Jesus. Do you accept that? And your biology, not your perceptions, determine your sex. Well, he writes back, laughing out loud, so yes, you are a homophobe and you've provided all the facts for it right here. You reject the rights and realities of LGBTQ people. He goes on, and I don't believe in God. And so we go back and forth, and then he begins to respond, the more I interact with him. Also, you major dingus, isn't it illegal for you to come on campus and speak? But I believe it's more... It isn't illegal, but I believe it's morally wrong of the school to allow some lame-o dummo to spread outdated and hateful ideas on their campus, especially because I imagine you'll profit in some way, dork. So he calls me Dumbo Dingus Dork. Then, oh, where does he, goes on with some other crazy names I've never heard, Doy Doy, and so, this is what I get for seeking to have intelligent, rational, loving interaction with someone mocking our position, a young person. He identifies as transgender, it appears. So we need to pray for these people, for the eyes of understanding to be open. They're blind, spiritually blind. I was blind when I was shooting heroin in 1971, and I wasn't blind because I was shooting heroin. I was blind because I didn't know the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones in Raleigh, North Carolina. David, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just want to say I don't think you're a monster, but I'm just curious. I understand your religious view on it, and that is the traditional view, but I don't understand why you oppose from a legal standpoint. We're not a Christian country, so and there are some Christian churches that don't see it the way you do. So why is same-sex marriage wrong from a legal standpoint?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you, David, for being so respectful and gracious in your question. I know these are very sensitive issues. They affect many individuals. So number one, the only reason the government gets involved in marriage is because marriage provides benefits to society, and therefore society conveys benefits on marriage. What are the benefits? That they bring a man and woman together who can biologically, by nature, reproduce and then join that child to the mother and father so they can be raised in the home. So we need children for the next generation, which can only happen with a male and a female. Even a gay couple has to bring in someone else to have a child. That's one thing. And then secondly, it is the only situation that provides a natural environment for the child to be raised by mother and father, which has been proven to be the best social environment for the child, and therefore the best social environment for the nation. So the only reason marriage, the government gets involved in marriage is to convey benefits on something that helps society. When you bring together two men or two women, they guarantee that any children they bring into the world will be separated from either their mother and father. I feel that's wrong, that's cruel, that's not in the best interest of the child. And by nature, they can't reproduce. So they're violating the very purpose of marriage in that regard as well. If they want to have a loving relationship, that's between them and God. If they want to draw up contracts,
but it seems like the religious right is imposing their beliefs by trying to legislate based on Bible beliefs.
What did I tell you about the Bible there, Dave? Did I quote Bible to you, or did I give you social reasons?
You gave social reasons that just absolutely make no sense to me. Not every marriage produces, not even straight marriage always produces children. And you're saying that people cannot, two consenting adults can't legally get married because conservative Christians and other groups oppose it from a religious standpoint?
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you have any problem with polygamy?
I personally don't. Personally, from a religious standpoint, do, but I would say that they should have a legal right to do so because they're adults.
Okay, so you're being consistent there. I appreciate that. What about, so any relationship formed, three men, you know, a throuple, three women, or two adult brothers or two adult sisters, that they should just legally. We're not talking morally, just legally.
Not legal. First of all, I'm against incest because that is harmful, and it's proven that is harmful.
But two adult brothers. How is it harmful? Two adult brothers. They can't have a child, so they can't be any genetic defects. They're consenting adults. And these cases have come up. They're not just abstract. Well, I'm just trying to understand legally. What's the objection? How is that harmful? Two adult brothers, consensual adults.
Mentally, it's not right.
I know, but you don't want to say that because you wouldn't accept me saying that about two. That's how I feel about two men in general. The way you feel about two brothers. You got to do better than that, David.
It still comes down to when it comes to laws. We being pro-life, I understand that you don't want an unborn child to be murdered, you know. And we don't have laws against drinking. We have laws against drinking and driving because mm-hmm. you could hurt somebody. But there's a lot of religious people that say drinking is wrong. Why? I mean,
So to answer your question, because drinking and driving affects others. What someone does if they drink in their home, that's between them
physically
and God, right?
Affects others.
Right. So the same way. Once you redefine marriage, now those views are taught as normal in schools with tens of millions of Christians attending, and we're told we can't opt out of that. Now we have a situation where thousands of children are being brought into an environment where, by definition, they'll be separated from either their mother or father for perhaps for life. To me, that's a cruel and wrong thing that affects others. And by nature, two men or two women cannot bring children into the world for the next generation, whereas it is a defect for a straight couple. But listen, David, I'm literally out of time. Otherwise, we would talk more. I would love to refer you to a discussion I did about this. If you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just type in where it says search, type in SMAW, S-M-A-W, S-M-A-W, SMAW. You'll see a debate I did about this. But listen, David, I respect you as a fellow human being. I honor you as someone for whom Jesus died. And whatever differences we have, let's have them in a civil way. Thank you, sir, very much.